Welcome to Scott's Church. The sermon is about to start.
Joshua says to the people of Israel, "Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Jesus says to his disciples, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you to the very end of the age." With those great promises in mind, welcome to Scott's Church on this Mother's Day morning, where I warmly invite you to join in singing his praise, to join in praying to our Lord together, and to join in hearing his word to us today. Please be seated. Again, a warm welcome to Scots, especially if this is your first time with us today, and most especially if you're a mum. If you are here for the first time, please do stay for morning tea afterwards and make yourself known. I'd love to meet you if you're here for the first time. For our regular members, details of the congregational meeting to be held in two Sundays' time have been emailed or posted to you. If you haven't received the information, please contact Wendy at the office. Now, on a sad note, former Elder Brian Baston passed away during the week. The funeral service will be here on Friday morning at 11 a.m, and you're very welcome to join us here. In happier news, the sausage sizzle is back. It's famous in years gone by, but has been in recess due to COVID, and the details are available on the bulletin. We'd love to see you here. A helpful tip you'll see there on the bulletin too, if you're hard of hearing. Full sermon transcripts are available on your way into church. All you need to do is ask. If you didn't get one on the way in, maybe pick one up on the way out. Then at least you'll know what I did say that you missed. Now, finally, a very important announcement. Please take note. For all of those who have asked over the past few months which footy team I'm going to be following as your new minister, please pay careful attention. Phil Court took us to our first live game yesterday, Collingwood versus North Melbourne. And we knew, interestingly, straight away what it must be like for a first timer coming along to church. You've heard that people do some funny stuff there, but you only really understand when you experience it for yourself. how confusing it is at the end where everyone just stands up and sings the team song and you don't even know the words. But as I said, Phil Court took us along, explained step by step as we went along and made us feel very welcome, even brought along a cap and a scarf for us both to wear. In other words, he's an excellent evangelist for his cause. And his cause, of course, is Collingwood. And so because of that, and because Jesus himself takes the cause of the lowly and the underdog, and because we love a good death and resurrection story, and that's what we're hoping for, we have made the big decision, and Collingwood forever it is for the Campbells. You can line up later and tell me why that's a terrible decision. But for now, to more pressing matters, in keeping with our theme of rejoicing in the book of Philippians, we're going to sing to the Lord a joyful song now in our first hymn. Please be seated and join me in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, indeed, we lift up our hearts and voices to you because of your gracious gifts to us. And Father, we gather this morning in expectation, needing desperately to catch a glimpse of the humility of our Lord Jesus, because we recognise in ourselves the besetting sins of pride and arrogance and selfish ambition. Father, we know that these attitudes have led to so many divisions among your people in the past. And though we know that Jesus says, "Blessed are the peacemakers," so often your church has failed to be a place of peace. That we so often have put ourselves and our own preferences first, that we so often overlook the needs and desires and even the preferences of others in the rush to have our own way. Help us to take your word to heart this morning as we learn again of the one who, though he was rich, became poor for us, who, though he was in all things equal with you, set his privilege aside and became one of us, and as one of us became a servant and died for us. Father, as we trust in him, help us also to live like him through the power of your Spirit, in Jesus' name. And we join in praying as he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. We're going to sing again, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling.
The first reading is from Philippians chapter 1, verse 27 through 30. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one Spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through this same struggle you saw I had and now hear that I still have. Here ends the first reading.
To the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost.
The second reading is from Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 through 11. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is God's holy and powerful word to us this morning. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. As we were told earlier by Reverend Phil Campbell, that our dear friend, Brian Basin, passed away. Let's continue to pray for Helen and her beloved family during this difficult time. And we continue also to pray for India, as many of us might aware that the cases of COVID-19 and the deaths are soaring high still in India and now spreading to the neighboring countries such as Nepal, Bangladesh, and Pakistan. So we continue to pray for India and the neighboring countries. And happy Mother's Day to all the mothers, and we give thanks to God for the gift of mothers. Let us pray. Redeemer God, we praise you for Jesus Christ and the glory of your work in him. His life in all its fullness of doing and being, his following through of your way to the end, for your raising him and all who follow him. We thank you for the teaching and example of Jesus Christ, for forgiveness and salvation, for his presence with us always, and for the service into which he has called us. Help us to thank you not only with our lips in praise and prayer, but in our lives of hope and love. For the gift of life and the promise of life eternal, we praise and give you thanks. We pray for the church in this place and the church set in the world to show how people belong together and how your gifts are given to be shared. Grant that, as we feel for the rejection and the voicelessness of others, we may meet Christ in them and bear witness to his transforming love. Our Redeemer and life giver, Jesus Christ, we pray for Helen Basten and her beloved family and friends who mourn over the passing of Helen's beloved husband, Brian Basten. To your loving care, O God, that you would sustain, strengthen, and comfort the Basten's family and friends in the days to come with treasured memories of the past and radiant hopes for the future. And we thank you for all the achievements in Brian's life and his faith in Christ Jesus and the wonderful contributions he had made to Scots Church, the broader Presbyterian Church, and the general community. Rest eternal, grant Brian, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon him. We praise and give thanks to God for Mother's Day. We pray for God's blessings, provision, wisdom, and protection to all those who have nurtured and cared for us. We remember birth mothers, adoptive mothers, mothers-to-be, surrogate mothers, aunts, grandmothers, neighbors, teachers, friends, and all motherly figures who have shared their faith with us. We also remember those mothers who are no longer with us. We pray for mothers and all women who are afflicted or suffering at this time, for those who need healing, require food or shelter, who live in violent homes or communities, and those who are grieving. Savior of the world, we praise and give you thanks for your healing touch to each of those suffering and in need. Let us pause for a few moments as we remember and pray for those known to ourselves. God of grace, we remember our friends from our church community and our own families who are not well at this present, Lord. We remember Yvonne Sullivan, Alan Nolan, Mirela Kiss, and Coral Hallock. May they know the power of God's love in Christ Jesus and be blessed with speedy and complete recovery. Loving God, we pray for the containment of COVID-19 in Australia and the world, especially in India. We pray for the people of India, where the coronavirus cases have now spread beyond borders. We pray for the safety of frontline health workers. We pray for the medical supplies will always be available, such as the COVID vaccines and other vital medicines, especially also oxygen cylinders and ventilators. We pray for the believers in India, churches, seminaries, Bible colleges, and the Australian Presbyterian World Mission partner churches and Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Dehradun, for the staff and students who have COVID. We pray for Christ's healing power for those who are hospitalized or in isolations. We pray for the believers of Christ Jesus that they will be stronger than ever during this crisis. May through the power of the Holy Spirit, people turn to Christ, to the only Savior and Redeemer, and be saved. Eternal God, hear these our prayers, the spoken and the silent, through Christ Jesus our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all praise and glory forever and ever. Amen. Let us sing hymn, And Can It Be?
Thank you.
Please be seated. And as we come to God's word together, please join me in prayer. Our Father, our prayer is, as we turn to your word to us this morning, that you would open our ears, open our minds, open our hearts, that we would indeed seek to be more like our Lord Jesus. And we pray in his name. Amen. It's 2021, and never before in my experience have I seen the wider church and the wider community so divided. Have you noticed? Of course you have. The last few years, how suddenly every Australian seems to have been granted a vote in the American elections. And every Australian somehow became American citizens with a view either passionately pro-Trump or equally passionately anti, or maybe that was just Queensland. But it extended even into churches. And so it was either Saint Donald on the one hand or Devil Donald on the other. And the news was all fake news or a conspiracy, either one way or the other. And suddenly no one could trust anyone anymore. And everything was political. Even COVID, masks or anti-masks, vax or anti-vax. How do you bridge a gap like that? Mind you, I guess it's nothing really new, even in churches. And the sad fact is churches have actually got a reputation, haven't they, for dividing, splitting over all kinds of matters of doctrine or just as likely all kinds of matters of preference in a way that's frankly embarrassing sometimes, isn't it? One minister I know simply gave up. He said, "I look at my church and I've never seen a bunch of people who hate one another with such a passion." He said, "We meet, we talk about forgiveness, we pray, and the next day I hear they're at it again, saying exactly the same things all over again." He said, "They just hate each other, and they have for years." In fact, he said things were so bad that when he led a young man in the town to faith in Christ, he advised him to go to another church up the road. I met another minister just the other day here in Victoria, trying to revive a church a few hours out of the city. Same story. He said their history is full of division over things ranging from the 17 points of Calvinism to the colour of the new carpet in the church. It's kind of obvious, isn't it, without even having a degree in theology, that kind of situation just shouldn't be. I mean, in the Rotary Club, maybe. In the Liberal Party, sure, at least every 5 years or so. But surely not in the church. In fact, as we come to the second part in our series in Paul's letter to the Philippians, a letter that we saw last week was shot through with the themes of joy and rejoicing. Here is the one thing that brings the Apostle Paul absolutely no joy at all. There is one thing in the church in Philippi that means his joy is incomplete. And that is division. You can see the key sentence there in chapter 2, verse 2, where he says to them, "If you've got even a spark of encouragement from being united with Christ, if you've got any comfort at all from his love, if you've got any common sharing of the Spirit, any tenderness or compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, being one in spirit and of one mind." Which, of course, links directly back to his words at the start of our passage this morning, chapter 1, verse 27. "Whatever happens," he says, "conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ." Which means, in simple terms, be united. If a church is together, keeping the main thing as the main thing, if a church is together focused on proclaiming Christ, then everything else should fall into place. So Paul says, whether I come to see you in person, this is still verse 27, or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one Spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel, that message of the Lord Jesus crucified for them. It applies in all sorts of situations, doesn't it? Without a clear cause, an organisation is just going to flounder around. What are we doing here? Now, the good news is, I've got for you this morning another Douglas Lawrence quote of the week. For those of you who weren't with us last week, Douglas is not just our music director here at Scots. Turns out he's an absolute goldmine of useful quotations. So here it is. It's a quote from Robert Menzies, who, according to my impeccable source, once said, "We cannot hack away at the foundations and then express surprise someday when the house falls." Which is exactly the point here, isn't it? Get the gospel foundation laid, make sure the gospel foundations are strong, and then stand firm as one. And if a church isn't doing that, it's obvious, isn't it? They will flail around and fall in a heap. And so instead of bringing honour to Jesus and the gospel message, it brings disgrace. Which you see in this otherwise joyful letter is the one thing that Paul says extinguishes his joy. Or at the very least, leaves it incomplete. So he says, if you've got even a little bit of encouragement from being united with Christ, then make my joy complete. And let the gospel of Jesus change the way you actually get on with one another. And instead of your petty rivalries and grudges, he says, make my joy complete by being like, by being same, by being one, like-minded, same love, one in spirit and purpose. And the recipe for how you do that, the recipe for building a church together like that, it comes up next in verses 3 to 5 in chapter 2. And the recipe is, instead of each of us being puffed up with our own self-importance, instead of each of us having to be right all the time, instead of each of us having to get our own way, he says, how about learning to be like Jesus instead? Starting with the one key area of humility. John Dixon's excellent little book, Humilitas, explores the way the Christian view of humility revolutionized the Western world. Because even these days, humility is seen as something of a virtue, which historically wasn't the case. The essence of it is right here in these words, verse 3. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. See, why on earth would you do that? It doesn't come naturally, does it? When, in spite of the fact I said humility is counted as a virtue, at every point I'm being told when I turn on the TV and the ads come on that I'm the most important person in the world. I'm being told you've got to look out for number one. When Paul says, make number one number two. And instead of being the most important person in the boardroom meeting who needs to be heard loudest and longest, instead of being the smartest person in the room whose opinion needs to be heard, count others better, more significant, more important. Instead of only looking to your own interest, which we do so very naturally, always have an eye to the interests of others instead. Now, can you see when you do that, the division is almost impossible, isn't it? There won't be any factions because there'll be nobody who wants to lead one. There'll be no infighting because there'll be no one to do battle. Instead of looking to your own interests, look to the interests of everyone else. And from verse 5, Paul shows us a very concrete example of what that looks like, an absolute masterclass in the art of humility. Someone who so puts the needs of others before the needs of self that he gives up more than you can possibly imagine to put himself lower than you could ever conceive. In The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, Douglas Adams writes the famous words, "Space is big. You just won't believe how vastly, hugely, and mind-bogglingly big it is." He says, "I mean, you may think it's a long way down the road to the chemists, but that's just peanuts compared to space." Now, transfer that same sense of scale to what Paul's talking about here. You might think it's a big ask to let someone's preference take precedence over yours. You might think it's a big ask to see someone else benefit instead of you. You might think it's a very big ask to take pain for the gain of another. But friends, that is peanuts compared to the vastly, hugely, and mind-bogglingly big example set by Jesus. Someone who was higher than high, to the point of being, in Paul's words, in very nature God, the lowest of the low. Now pick it up from verse 5 in chapter 2. In your relationships with one another, pardon me, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Now, can you think back to your high school mathematics to y equals x squared? Remember that one? A parabola. It starts up at the top right of the page and swoops all the way down before it curves back up again. Now, here is the biggest parabola you'll ever see. See, that's the starting point. In very nature, God. His very essence. You don't get any higher than that. But you see, he let it go. Who being in very nature, God, his very essence, that's the starting point at the top of the curve, didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped, held on to. But he let it go. Verse 7, rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, follow the curve, going lower, being made in human likeness. But it goes even lower, verse 8. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death. And if you thought it couldn't go any lower, think again. Because this was a death in absolute disgrace. Death on a cross. Which in that time and that place was just as low as you could go. These days, capital punishment in most places is at least dignified. Lethal injection, maybe. Even the guillotine, gruesome as it was actually designed to be instant and painless. Crucifixion was designed to be the exact opposite. To be public, to be prolonged, and to be shameful. The one in very nature God, all the way down to the blood and sweat and nails and splinters on the cross as he publicly took on himself the penalty for sin. And so notice it's because of that, verse 9, it's because that sort of humility runs right to the very heart of God and God endorses it. You can see at last the parabola goes up again from verse 9, and therefore God exalted him to the highest place. Not only raised from the dead, but ascended to rule. That at the name of Jesus, says Paul, every knee should bow. In heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. In other words, you see, in God's economy, the only way up is by going down. So here's the point. Here's where the rubber hits the road, back in verses 3 to 5. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. And you say, but that's costly. But that's inconvenient. That doesn't suit me today. That's humiliating. To which Paul says, well, have a look at Jesus and his cost and his inconvenience and his humiliation for your sake. Look at Jesus and be like him. Because ultimately, you see, that is what God honours more than anything else, which many of us find so very hard to accept or believe because we are just so impressive in our own right. More than that, Paul says, set your heart on taking his mindset, which is something that only really comes if we are sharing in that one spirit. And it only really comes if we do have comfort from his love for us. Did you notice, looking back at verse 2, it's actually a complete change of mind and change of heart we're talking about, not just a veneer. Comes from a place of understanding and appreciating God's mercy on you in what Jesus has done for you. And then it works its way out from there. So do you notice again, verse 2, it all starts with our thinking. It's being like-minded that makes Paul's joy complete, being of one mind. And most especially in verse 5, having the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Which is what Paul means then in verse 1 when he calls on us to be well and truly united with Christ and sharing in his spirit. Now friends, I want you to notice that's not the high bar stuff of super spiritual Christianity. Sometimes we Presbyterians, you know, when we hear about the Spirit, you might think that's only for the Hillsongers up the road and not for us. It couldn't be further from the truth. In fact, the point is, the real miracle of the Holy Spirit, the most astonishing part of the whole story, isn't that there'll be healings of the body or spectacular miracles on show, as there will be unity and love and like-mindedness that comes from having the same mindset as Jesus. Putting others before ourselves. Being different. Living differently to the world, making ourselves humble instead of puffing ourselves up, not resting on our credentials or our achievements, not counting ourselves better than anyone else, listening when we'd rather be talking, serving when we'd rather be sitting down, concerned for the good of everyone else, even at the expense of myself. See, a church full of people like that, simply because of Jesus. What a wonderful thought. Not because they're super Christians, but because they're plain, ordinary, basic, trusting in Jesus Christians who are taking on his mindset with the help of his Spirit. Next week, we're going to meet some shining examples as Paul introduces Timothy and Epaphroditus, who shine like stars because they know what it means to put others first. But I'm sure for now we get the idea. And so if you have suffered from divisions, or even if you've caused them, if you've been disappointed by your experience of church, either here or somewhere else, how about getting to work this week in maybe starting to make a difference? Resolve things with someone. Pick up the phone, maybe. Maybe there are things where you need to start by saying, I'm sorry, I was wrong. Maybe there are things where you could start by saying, even if I wasn't wrong, what I said to you wasn't right. And so whatever it was, hasn't been worth the years of bad feeling. Friends, I think all of us have got work to do on this, haven't we? All of us are so very good at looking to our own interests and not to the interests of others. Becoming indignant when I've been wronged. So let's pray that the Spirit of God would be doing his work in each of us in the days ahead. We're going to pray that in a moment, and then we're going to sing together, "May the mind of Christ, my Saviour, live in me from day to day," which in itself is a very good prayer in this regard. But first, let's pray together. Father, we admit that so often we have failed to conduct ourselves in ways worthy of the gospel. And we're truly sorry for the times our selfish ambition and vain conceit have stopped us valuing others above ourselves. We're truly sorry, especially for the times that attitude has led to division in your church, either here or elsewhere. Move in us by your Spirit, we pray, that you would grant us peace with one another, that you would help us to strive together as one for the faith of the gospel. And as you rejoice in our unity, we ask that you would make our joy complete too. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. May the mind of Christ, my Saviour, live in me from day to day by his love and power controlling all I do and say. Now, may the one who brought from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ keep our hearts and minds pure and grant us joy and peace now and forevermore. Amen.